Hello, and welcome to the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. I'm your host, Benjamin Douglas, and this is the show where each week I read a chapter from a different indie author. Thanks for joining me for today's reading. Hey everyone, thanks for joining me tonight for episode number 32 of the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. As always, I'm your host, Benjamin Douglas. Welcome. Thanks for being here. So glad to have you with me tonight. Tonight I'm going to be reading from comedic science fiction author Barry J. Hutchison, for which I'm very excited, very enthused. Before I do get on to talking about him, two quick announcements. One is that I'm going to be having a new release coming out in my own science fiction, sort of military action adventure science fiction series at the end of this month. Book 3 of Starship Fairfax, The Neptune Contingency, is going to be going live on the 30th of October here in 2017. And around that same time, I'm going to be doing a free run of book 1. You'll hear all about it again next week, but I just want to plug that at the start of the show to get you interested and whet your appetites. And the second announcement is just a preview of what we have coming up. In the next 2 weeks, I'll be reading from indie author superstar, Mr. Wayne Stinnett. Yeah, and also from C. Gockle. A couple of heavy hitters coming up. Well, really a trio of heavy hitters here with Barry as well tonight. So stick around, keep coming back. I am just, you know, I'm the kind of person who gets starstruck really easily. It's not like I've met any of these people. I've just exchanged like emails and messages asking for permission to read their work. But I still like my mind boggles at the thought of reading some of these people's words on this show. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. I hope you keep coming back. And a quick call to action. If you are enjoying the show or finding any value and you've yet to do so, I would encourage you, if you want to help me out, hop over to iTunes and leave me a review. Leave me a rating. There is a very kind review, which I found very, very lovely, but there aren't quite enough ratings yet for iTunes to display the number of stars. So we could definitely use more. And there is a link to that, to the show on iTunes, in the sidebar over at thebookspeakspodcast.wordpress.com. So check that out if you're enjoying stuff. Okay, on to Mr. Barry J. Hutchison. As always, I'm going to begin by reading his Amazon author bio. Hello! I'm Barry J. Hutchison, author of sci-fi and horror fiction. Without the J, I'm an award-winning author of fiction for children and teenagers. I've forcibly inserted my middle initial to make the distinction between those and my books for adults, which aren't suitable for children. Like, at all. Ever. I live halfway up a mountain in the highlands of Scotland, where I spend my days making stuff up and writing it down. My latest novel, Space Team, is a fast-paced, laugh-out-loud comedy sci-fi adventure, which has been described as Suicide Squad meets Galaxy Quest. Find out more about me and grab some free books at www.barryjhutchison.com/freebooks. Great. And I would add to that that Amazon author bio that it looks as though there are a number of titles in the Space Team saga. Space Team proper is not his latest novel anymore. So do check out his Amazon author page or his website. And as always, there will be links to both of those in the show notes over again at thebookspeakspodcast.wordpress.com. And if you go to his website, /freebooks. There are free books. Cool. Scotland. I've never been to Scotland. I would love to go to Scotland. Oh, I've only, you know, I've been to England once, but we didn't get up to Scotland. And I'm sure that it's lovely. Anyway, I'm going to keep things moving now by reading the book description, that is the blurb on Amazon, for the work from which I'm reading tonight, that is book one of Space Team. The galaxy just called for help. Unfortunately, it dialed the wrong number. Small-time con man Cal Carver is having a bad day. Imprisoned and forced to share a cell with a cannibalistic serial killer, Cal thinks things can't possibly get any worse. He is wrong. It's not until 2/3 of the human race is wiped out, and Cal is mistakenly abducted by aliens, that his day really starts to go downhill. Whisked across the galaxy, Cal is thrown into a team of some of the sector's most notorious villains and scumbags. Their mission should be simple enough, but as one screw-up leads to another, they find themselves in a frantic battle to save an entire alien civilization and its god from total annihilation. Featuring epic space battles, alien gangsters, and several thousand flying Tobey Maguires, Space Team is the first book in the internationally best-selling series by award-winning author Barry J. Hutchison and is perfect for fans of Hitchhiker's Guide and Guardians of the Galaxy. And then he's got some reviews that I'll read quickly because they're in the blurb. Praise for Barry J. Hutchison. Call off the search. We've found the new Terry Pratchett, says The Independent. From the back cover, Cal Carver is the wrong guy in the wrong space at the wrong time in this funny sci-fi adventure from multi-award-winning author Barry J. Hutchison. Good, and then he's got a bit about the author, from which I'll only say, not to be repetitive, that he also writes comic books, and that he's written over 70 books for children and teenagers. So, Barry is a prolific guy. He's written a lot, and he's writing a lot. I first encountered Barry J. Hutchison in the Facebook group 20 Books to 50K, which, if you don't know about yet, what rock are you living under? Go check it out. The group is huge. It's got like 13,000 members. Barry among them, and myself as well. And one of the things that I've noticed about him is the very clear branding of his covers, which now I'm kind of curious if he does them himself. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a comic book author, but I haven't confirmed that. I'll have to check that out. I remember him shopping some covers around in that group months and months ago, I feel like, just asking about opinions about things. And they're always just really fun, kind of eye candy. And they're cheesy, but it's totally on purpose. There's like a spaceman in like an almost like NASA looking spacesuit. And there's I'm describing the book one cover, I guess. There's a very common stock photo art of a designed spaceship. And then the space dude is like, he's got like a comic book speech bubble coming out, and he's saying like, "Oh, very funny guys," or something like that. I think there's an electric guitar floating in space with him. It's very amusing. It definitely begs the story. Like, you look at this cover and you're like, "What's happening? What's the story?" Not behind the book, but behind this, just this cover. Like, I have to read this just to find out what's going on this cover. Which I think is very clever, and it's definitely got a look. It's very well branded. And I want to mention, Barry, it's very clear in his writing, which I think you'll hear tonight, that he is a prolific writer who's won awards and previously published and all these things. His prose is just really pleasant. It's not even just his storytelling. It's like the way the prose is constructed is very sort of, there's a sonority to it that I think we as indies sometimes neglect. Because if you start to talk about the nuance of the music of your prose, it starts to sound a little snobbish. It starts to sound like you're talking about literary fiction, which, you know, the bastion of literary fiction anymore, at least, is TradPub. But I really kind of feel like a lot of these attitudes come from artificialities and presuppositions that don't really, that it's just not necessary. Barry's work is an example of this. So he has self-published the Space Team books. By all accounts, they're doing very well. He's certainly got a lot of them. He's got a lot of visibility. I've seen them all over the place. And his storytelling and his comedic angle and all of this, he's pulling people in. But at the same time, his prose is really quite lovely. I'm going to give you an example of this. When you're listening to the reading in this episode, listen specifically to Cal's description of the office of the prison warden in which he finds himself. When he's talking about the shelves and the boxes on the shelves looking like they're about to explode, their contents all over the office. I just found it, I don't know, really refreshing to be able to just enjoy a bit of finely tuned prose as I'm reading what is clearly genre kind of pulp fiction intentionally. So good on you, Barry. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep putting stuff out there. I really am enjoying it so far. I'm going to continue reading this, I think. And anybody who's interested in comedy at all, or a comedic science fiction, or fun action-adventure sci-fi, you know, he mentioned in his blurb Guardians of the Galaxy, for example. Check this out. And once more, free books at his website, which there'll be a link to in the show notes. So, without any further ado, as always, I want to remind everyone that this reading does not come from an official audiobook. It is recorded, performed, and presented here with the author's permission. And I hope you enjoy it so, so much. I think it's just a fun first chapter. This is the first chapter from book one of Barry J. Hutchison's Space Team. Thanks, everybody, and I'll see you back next week with Wayne Stinnett. Space Team, Book One, by Barry J. Hutchison. Chapter One. Cal Carver's last day on Earth started badly, improved momentarily, then rapidly went downhill. It began with him being sentenced to 2 years in prison and ended with the annihilation of 2/3 of the human race. Somewhere in between, there was a somewhat enjoyable moment when he ate a lemon drop, but otherwise, it was a pretty grim 24 hours, all round. The sentencing was harsh, but not particularly surprising. It wasn't Cal's first offense, and, if he were honest, almost certainly wouldn't be his last. It was far from his first prison sentence, either, although usually they were dished out in terms of days rather than years. Still, 2 years, half once his impeccable behavior was accounted for, in a cozy, open prison would be an opportunity to recharge. A holiday, almost. In some ways, Cal was even looking forward to it. There was just one problem.
What do you mean, the wrong prison?
Cal flashed the warden one of his most winning smiles. He had a number of them at his disposal, and this one was up there with the best, while still holding enough back in reserve to step it up to the next level, if required.
I literally do not know another way of saying it, Cal said. This is the wrong prison. I'm supposed to be in Highview, you know, upstate, with the gardens. They've got this training kitchen, the chef's there, they do this amazing little sort of pastry whirl things that...
I know it,
the warden said, drumming his fingers on one of the few uncluttered patches of desk he had available.
Good, right, of course you do, said Cal.
He waited, cranking his smile up a notch to be on the safe side. It was a smile so dazzling, you could practically hear the ding as the light reflected off his teeth. The warden, however, appeared unmoved. He shrugged.
And what's your point?
Well, Warden Grant, was it?
The warden didn't do anything to confirm or deny his name, so Cal continued.
I'm supposed to be at Highview. That's what the judge said. Someone even wrote it down on that document. This guard here was kind enough to look out for me.
He gave the female guard an appreciative nod and a flash of that smile. A blush flushed upwards from the neck of the woman's shirt, but she managed, to her immense relief, not to giggle.
He's right, sir. Must have been a mix-up during transit.
She's really very good, said Cal, gesturing to the guard.
I don't know how it works here, if you take recommendations for promotion or whatever, but if you do, I'd be happy. No, I'd be more than happy to...
We don't, said the warden.
Oh, well, maybe you should, Cal suggested.
The warden held his gaze for several excruciating seconds. Cal cleared his throat.
I'm gonna just let you read that.
The warden's stare lingered for a while longer. Then he lowered his eyes to the document in front of him. A single crooked finger tapped the desktop as he read. The nicotine-stained nail tick, tick, ticking against the wood.
As you can see, my crime, well, obviously wrong, wasn't really all that serious.
The warden didn't look up. Identity theft is very serious, Mr. Carver.
I didn't steal it. Not really. I borrowed it, just for a while.
The warden raised his eyes just long enough to make Cal shut up, then went back to reading. Cal rocked on his heels and studied the office. It must once have been pretty grand, with its wood-paneled walls, high ceiling, and lush carpet, but time and a distinct lack of storage space had taken their toll. The walls were almost completely concealed by mismatched metal shelving. The shelves themselves groaned under the weight of ramshackle ring binders and bulging box files that looked fit to explode and shower the room with their contents at any moment. Around half of the carpet was as good as new, but a number of paths had been worn into it. The thinnest, most threadbare of them all, terminated right on the spot where Cal now stood. He met the guard's eye and smiled at her. Despite herself, she smiled back, then fought to straighten her face before the warden looked up again. The warden grunted. Cal turned, assuming he'd finished reading, but the old man's eyes were still fixed on the page, his finger still tapping its steady, solemn beat. Cal whistled softly beneath his breath and went back to looking around the room. In the corner of the ceiling, where it met a really quite elaborate bit of cornicing, there was a murky brown stain, three roundish blobs and a swooping curve at the bottom.
It looks like a face,
Cal announced. The warden lifted his eyes from the page. His gray-flecked eyebrows knitted up in the middle.
The damp patch. It looks like a face, Cal said, gesturing towards the corner of the ceiling.
At least I hope it's damp and not, you know, some kind of dirty protest. I've heard what this place can get like.
He turned and lowered himself until he was half sitting, half standing against the edge of the desk.
It must be hard, all that responsibility. You know what? I bet they don't appreciate you enough, John. Can I call you John?
The warden's face remained stoically unchanged.
Saw it on your stack of mail there, Cal explained. You should probably open those, by the way.
No,
the warden said.
No, you're not going to open the mail, or no, they don't appreciate you enough.
No, you may not call me John.
Cal held his hands up.
I fully understand. I was out of line. That was unprofessional of me.
He spotted a small round tin on the desk with a stack of sugar-dusted yellow candy inside. Taking one, he popped it into his mouth. Across the room, the guard stifled a gasp.
Lemon. Is that lemon?
Cal asked.
Tastes like lemon. Nice, though. Not too sour.
A vein pulsed on the warden's right temple. He closed the folder, very deliberately replaced the lid on his tin of candy, then stared equally deliberately at the point where Cal's buttocks met his desktop. It took a few seconds before Cal got the message.
Right, yes, sorry, been on my feet most of the day, just taking the weight off, he said, standing up.
He flashed another beaming smile and indicated the closed door.
So, we good?
The warden crossed his hands over the folder and tapped out another slow drumbeat on it.
It appears there's been an administrative error, he admitted, making no effort to hide the fact that doing so caused him very real pain.
Hey, these things happen, said Cal. You shouldn't feel bad about it.
I don't, the warden said.
That's the spirit, Cal said. So, I guess I'll just gather up my things.
He patted down his orange jumpsuit.
Yep, looks like I've got everything, so I guess I am ready to go.
Cal leaned over and shook the guard's hand. She stared down at it in surprise.
Audrey, thank you for your help. It's been a pleasure. I hope we can do it again sometime.
No problem. Cal winked at her, then turned to the warden and extended a hand across the desk.
John, I really appreciate you sorting everything out, he said. If I were you, I'd get that damp patch looked at. It's structurally unsafe, and from this angle, looks like they trapped the soul of a dead clown. And neither of those, in my opinion anyway, are things a man in your position should have to put up with.
His eyes flicked from John to his outstretched hand and back again. He nodded encouragingly. The warden's chair creaked as he leaned back in it.
Unfortunately, Mr. Carver,
There are currently no prisoner transport options available to me.
Cal's smile wavered just for a moment. No prisoner transport options? What does that mean?
I literally do not know another way of saying it, the warden said, the corners of his mouth tugging into a slight smirk. I currently have no means at my disposal with which to transport you to Highview.
Oh, that's fine. Know what? That's totally fine. You could call me a cab, Cal suggested.
Audrey could come with me if you're worried about me running away. You'd be okay with that, right, Audrey?
Yeah, I could.
No, don't worry. Prison transport will be arranged. Cal's shoulders heaved with relief.
Really? That's awesome. Thanks, John. He laughed. You almost had me going there for a minute. I mean, the thought of spending another minute in this hellhole.
Tomorrow.
Cal blinked several times in rapid succession. The warden leaned forwards in his chair again, steepling his hands in front of his face. Somewhere beyond the door behind Cal, a high-pitched alarm began to chime.
Tomorrow? Said Cal at last. I'll be honest, John, tomorrow isn't good for me. Tonight. Now, tonight would be ideal.
Relax, Mr. Carver, said the warden. Hear that alarm? That's the lights-out indicator. It'll soon be sleepy time. Morning will be here before you know it.
Yes, but...
Has Mr. Carver been assigned a cell? The warden asked.
The guard shook her head.
Not yet, sir.
Good. Good. Put him in 18.
The guard shifted awkwardly.
18 is occupied, sir.
I'm aware of that, said the warden. This is a prison. Cells get shared. That is how it works.
Actually, I'm not really a people person, said Cal. If you have, like, a single room available...
Well, yes, I know, sir, said the guard, shooting Cal a worried glance. But 18... That's the butcher, sir.
The warden held the guard's gaze. His fingers began drumming on his desktop.
The butcher?
Said Cal, looking between them both.
The butcher? Who's the butcher?
Tell me, Mr. Carver, said the warden, do you have a family?
Cal hesitated.
No.
Oh, then you'll get along just fine, the warden said. See, the butcher did have a family, once upon a time. Then he had bits of one, in carefully marked bags in the freezer. And now he doesn't have any family at all.
He leaned back in his chair and interlocked his fingers over his stomach.
Yes, Audrey, put him with the butcher.
But you'd best take that lemon drop off him. We wouldn't want him trying to choke himself to death on it during the night now, would we?
The guard nodded.
Very good, sir.
She cupped a hand in front of Cal's face. After a few final sucks, he opened his mouth, letting the shiny yellow candy drop
into her palm. Audrey studied the sticky ball of yellow for a moment, then slipped it into her pocket.
"Come on," she told him.
"I guess we should go and get you settled in."
This concludes another episode of the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. Thanks for joining me, your host, Benjamin Douglas, for another indie author reading. If you liked what you heard, be sure to visit http://thebookspeakspodcast.wordpress.com for more episodes and for links to the author's website and the author's Amazon author page in the show notes. If you'd like to follow me on my own author journey, you can find me at http://benjamindouglasbooks.wordpress.com. And of course, if you're an indie author interested in having your work featured on the show, or if you're interested in discussing having your book read and produced by me as an audiobook, feel free to contact me at benjamindouglasbooks@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you have a productive and enjoyable weekend.